This is a special episode of BoodlaNetwork.com.
Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right, here I am stuck in the middle with you. Yes, I'm stuck in the middle with you, and I'm wondering what it is I should do. It's so hard to keep the smile from my face, losing joy, I'm all over the place. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right, here I am stuck in the middle with you. Well, you started out with nothing and you found that you're...
Hey, greetings from the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell. This is BoodlaNetwork.com. Special episode. I'm recording today, August the 13th, 2011. It is Saturday, and the heat wave in North Texas has broken. Well, it broke a couple of days ago for the first time. We got a little bit of rain, got down to 84 degrees in the middle of the day, and it's been raining all day, off and on today. So it's been great. It's been great. The subject today, as evidenced by the famous Steelers Wheel song, Stuck in the Middle. So many people, I find, seem to feel stuck in the middle. And I don't know if you're stuck in the middle with somebody or with something, but it's not good to be stuck in the middle. I want to talk with you about getting out of the middle and moving towards some spot on the outer circle. In episode 96, I talked about getting a sheet of paper. If you haven't gone and listened to episode 96, go back and do that if you care to. If you don't want to, then that's cool too. Get a sheet of paper out, draw a circle, and put some dot or a mark, maybe an X, in the middle of that circle. That X represents you. That X represents where you're going to start. And any spot on the circle is going to represent the achievement of your objective, the goal. Now, this could be any number of things, but there may be a circle, for instance, that represents your personal life, personal goals. There may be a circle that represents a career. Maybe the circle represents your business, your enterprise. Maybe it represents some personal pursuit, like learning a new language, learning to play an instrument. We've got all these circles in our life, and so many people do get stuck in the center. They get stuck in the middle, and that is, they get stuck in the middle because they're not taking any meaningful action. Today's show is intended to help us do that. It's intended to help us move forward, make some meaningful progress, and hopefully gain some momentum. Everybody wants momentum. Everybody's looking for momentum. Everybody's looking for the secret, the easy button. We want the solution. Give us the formula. Tell me the easy steps. Bloggers regularly say that when they include some number, like a numbered post, if they write a blog post and it's 5 steps to this or 10 steps to that, readership tends to go up. Why? We like that. We like that step-by-step kind of stuff. Now, it may not have any validity at all, but we like it. We're rather attracted to it because, well, it makes it kind of formulaic. It makes it kind of easy. We think, great, well, if I take steps 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, then I'm there. And sadly, most of us know that that's not true. It's just not true. The most successful people really can't distill for us, well, we did this and we did that and we did this other, and it was all very strategic and it was all purposeful. It was all planned. Recently, I've only heard one person admit, I started with this in mind. I set out with full intention to go from here to there, and I did it. I've only heard one story like that in recent memory. No, I'm not going to tell you who. It's an internet presence. And I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, I am not at all saying that we shouldn't act with purpose, that we shouldn't act with intention. In fact, this show, this episode is a special episode. Number one, I'm not recording it on a Thursday. I'm doing it on a Saturday. And it's special also in the sense that that's not at all what I'm saying. I'm saying that we should act with great purpose, with great intention. But you're going to learn some things along the way. I don't want you to be stuck in the middle in the sense that I don't want you to be stuck in the center where you're not taking meaningful action to get to the outer circle. The outer circle represents success. You can define that however you'd like to. If you want to put a dollar amount on it, do that. Now, I'm going to ask you, what does that dollar amount represent? Because dollars in and of themselves aren't meaningful. What is meaningful, perhaps, is what you do with that money. What do you buy? What do you invest? What are you going to spend it on? Those are going to be the things that have some significance for you. Some people have, they have charitable work that they really are driven to do. And we dig a little bit deeper and we may find out, well, a mom and a dad who have a child who suffers from some type of a health issue. And guess what? Mom and dad, all of a sudden, they really get on fire to help raise money, to help raise awareness for this malady that has hit home. It's hit their home. And maybe they want money for that. Maybe other people, they've always wanted to own some particular possession. Maybe it's a Rolex watch, and we can think, my, how vain that is and how shallow. And perhaps it is. But it's what they want. And man, if they could just make enough money to own that. Now, hopefully you're not that shallow. Hopefully you and I, we're painfully aware that stuff is just stuff. And no sooner does the person who clamors for that Rolex get the Rolex, and then they realize, well, okay, it's not all that great. It's really not much different than owning a Timex. After a while, what difference does it make? But the point is, we're all driven for different things. Money may be a component of it. Money may not be a component of it. It may be achievement. It may be, I want to go from the center of the circle, which is, I don't know how to play guitar, to the outside part of the circle where not only can I play guitar, but I could kind of write my own songs. Whatever it is, the circle represents achievement, accomplishment, success. In the center of the circle is where we all start. I don't want you being stuck in the center because I don't want you being stuck so that you can't move. There are some things that stick us in the middle. Most notably, the thing that sticks us in the middle is we're not sure what direction to go, and so we don't move at all. A circle is 360 degrees, and for our argument today, let's assume that each degree represents some pursuit, some specific direction that we could go, some accomplishment we could try to achieve, and we have hundreds of them that we can choose from. For our example, 360 of them. Now, there's a lot more than that. We can go in any direction that we want to, but I can't move. Why? Why am I stuck in the middle? I'm stuck in the middle because I can't decide. Well, indecision, boy, that strikes at a whole lot of people. It's been proven that when shoppers are given too many choices, they are paralyzed, and more often than not, they will not make a decision. Those of us who have lived in and around selling for a lot of years, we know, we've seen it firsthand, that if we give someone too many choices, too many options, it's easier for them to make no decision. It's easier for them to simply walk away than it is for them to decide between A, B, C, or D. And rather, what we are better off doing is we're better off giving them a choice between A or B. Why? It's simpler. It's simpler. I can wrap my head around the pluses and the minuses of A, and I can also wrap my head around the pluses and minuses of B, and I can also contrast A and B. I can compare A and B, and I can hopefully make a decision. The minute I throw C into the equation, it gets much more complex. And the minute I throw D into the situation, it is so complex, I can't decide. I just can't decide. The easiest choice, then, is no choice. I will simply refuse to make a decision and be stuck in the middle, doing nothing. Don't do that. Here's the advice of today's show. Here's what I want to encourage you to do, and here's what I would like to inspire you to do, and that is to pick a spot on the circle that represents some specific targeted thing, something that you hope to accomplish. And I'm going to give you some counterintuitive advice, and that is to pursue that point on the circle to the exclusion of all other points. Now, why is that counterintuitive? Well, for a couple of reasons, none of the least of which is it's kind of against the grain because, well, have you heard people say, you know, I don't want to be pigeonholed. I don't want to be pigeonholed. You might hear a musical artist, you might hear some actor or actress in Hollywood. You know, I don't want to be typecast. That simply means I don't want to be known just for this. I don't want to be known just for comedy. I don't want to be known just for drama. I don't want to be just known as a person who does Westerns. No, I want to be this Renaissance person. I'm going to be well-rounded. But here's the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter is everyone who's made it in Hollywood, most everyone who has made it in music, they have made it being known for something. Just because they have been known for making it as something does not mean that that something must necessarily define them now and for all time. It could be that someone got their break by taking some small part in a movie. And maybe in that movie they played the villain, they played the bad guy. And perhaps critics just raved about them and said, my, it was just a magnificent job, and they were just spectacular at it. You know, they just wanted to make it. They were given a role, and they did the very best they could with that role. And do you think that if the next role that comes down the pike is a good role and it's a villain, you think they're going to care? They want to act. They want to act. They want to be in movies, and so they pursue that, and they chase that. Do some people get typecast? Well, yes. Yes, they do. Now, it could be argued that, well, if you're typecast, guess what that also means? Here's kind of the elephant in the room. It means they've been cast. It means they've been hired. It means they're in the movie. Think of all the people who weren't hired. Think of all the people who now are not being paid to do the thing that they most want to do, act. They didn't get cast. They came. They may have auditioned. They may have felt fortunate to just be auditioning for it. So there is that component. There's also, in my opinion, there's also just the misnomer that once and for all is just how it always goes, that the person who may make their stardom, they may make their first appearance a success by playing the role of a villain, that necessarily means that they will now and for all time be playing the role of a villain. Well, not necessarily. Hollywood is full of people who have morphed and adapt. I give you Robin Williams. Robin Williams made his mark being this frenzied, frenetic, crazy, insane, funny man. But he has gone on to play some incredibly dark, dramatic roles. And he's done them well. And we can say, well, can there be anybody on the planet who is kind of this bigger-than-life funny guy, and we merely mention his name, Robin Williams, and what do we think? Our context for Robin Williams is he's in just an insane, frenetic, crazy, off-the-wall funny guy. Well, he's also been this deep, dark, mysterious kind of character actor in a lot of different movies. Typecast? Well, hardly. But he did make his name. He did make his name by going from the center of that circle to a specific spot on that circle, and that spot was called comedy. And once he got to the outer circle, here's my argument. Once he got to the outer circle, once he achieved success, he had momentum, and it afforded him the opportunity to do a lot of other things. And he's done them. I was talking to Phil Simon. You'll find the episode somewhere. Most recently, it was about his book that he's going to be publishing in mid-September called The Age of the Platform. And one of the businesses that Phil profiles in the book is Amazon. I think it's a notable example for today's show because here's a company run by a fellow named Jeff Bezos, and what he did, he set out as he journeyed to the Pacific Northwest to be a company that could sell books online. Well, world class. Monumental, the Goliath in the industry. Amazon achieved tremendous success in being the number one bookseller on the planet, online, offline for that matter. That's how they made their name. They went from the center of the circle to a specific point on that circle, that point being represented by being the dominant online bookseller. Today, they are in everything from cloud computing to data storage to e-commerce solutions to selling electronics and a host of other things that have nothing to do with books. How did that happen? They made their name in a specific targeted area. And by chasing that, and by getting there, they gained momentum. They learned some things going from the center of the circle to the outside of the circle. They gained momentum, and now they've been able to get involved in a variety of other industries and other businesses. The lesson for us is very simple. Be known for something. Set about to achieve success and accomplishment in a targeted, specific area. Do not worry about being pigeonholed. Do not worry about being typecast. Do not worry or fret that, well, this necessarily means I'll never be able to pursue anything else. Not true. Not true. Look at the internet landscape. Think about the people that you know that you believe are successful. Now, whether they truly are or not, let's just table that for the moment, because quite frankly, sometimes it's hard to tell on the internet. But take people that you believe, you honestly believe, and with some degree of certainty, you are confident that they have achieved something. It might be a blogger. Hey, it could be a podcaster. It could be any number of people. And I want you to think about this. I really want you to think about this. Didn't they get known for something very specific? Think about it. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Are they today 100% solely defined by that one thing that gave them momentum, that one thing that helped them break through, that one thing for which they gained notoriety and attention? And it doesn't have to be worldwide attention. It could just be they got known for something. It's amazing, isn't it? Because here's what happens. You hear sportscasters talk about it all the time, particularly with a team that is struggling. Maybe a team is on a losing streak, and you'll hear commentators on television talk about how this team really needs to learn how to win. They really need to learn how to win. They really need to get their confidence because they've lost their confidence. They're in a bad way. They're stuck in the middle. They're stuck in the middle. And in the middle is not necessarily where losing takes place, but it could be losing. Being stuck in the middle is definitely not a place where you want to remain, because to remain there will be equivalent to losing. But it could be that you've just not yet gotten to the outer circle. It could be that you're in the process, and it could be that this team that's on a losing streak, they just have to muscle through and figure some things out so that they can begin to make momentum toward the outer circle. Some teams can do it, and some teams cannot. Some individuals can do it, and some cannot. But it is absolutely true. Are there exceptions? Well, listen, there are exceptions to most everything. But when I look at the landscape and I think of businesses offline and online who have achieved success, they got known for something. And they got known for something very targeted, very specific. And it may today, it may not necessarily fully define them. Amazon is a perfect case in point. Today, Amazon is not fully defined as a bookseller. When they began, the Kindle technology did not exist. It's a game changer. The fact that they went from the center of the circle to the outer circle and that they made it necessarily meant that they engaged themselves in some learning and some wisdom along the way. They figured some things out, and it happens for us all. Let's take your career. Let's take your life. Let's take mine. Much smaller scale, for sure, than Amazon. We set about in a targeted, specific area. Well, we learn some things along the way. We learn what doesn't work. We learn what does work. If we're smart, we keep on working. We keep on trying. We keep on pushing. We figure some things out. We figure some other things out. And by the time we reach the outer circle, by the time we accomplish something, by the time we have achieved something, by the time we have hit success, we have absolutely figured a few things out. And so many times we think, you know, why did it take me so long? Well, because that process of going from the center of the circle to the outer circle, well, it is a process. Sadly, you can't just take a rocket ship and go from the center of the circle to the outer circle. It's sometimes a long, arduous journey, and we just have to just keep plodding along. And sometimes we gain some momentum, and man, it seems like we're running downhill pretty fast. And then the next thing you know, we hit a incline, and our speed slows, and our breathing gets labored, and it gets to be tough. And we just keep on pressing. We keep on pressing. And here's what we have to avoid. We have our eyes fixed on this precise spot on the circle. But boy, there's another spot over there, and it looks awfully interesting. It looks awfully enticing. And, you know, I think I could go in that direction. And we cast our eyes over to the opposite direction. We think, you know, well, that looks equally enticing too. And I could see myself I could see myself over there. And before you know it, we're stuck in the middle. And we're stuck in the middle because we've taken our eyes off of our focus and that one spot we were chasing before. And in this internet age, the shiny object syndrome and all that, many of us are prone to distraction. Oh, but you know, we fancy ourselves being multitaskers. World-class multitaskers are not that at all. Rather, they are people who, with great precision and sometimes great speed, are able to do one thing at a time. But as we step back and as we look at them, some are able to do it with such proficiency, it looks like they're doing a lot of things at the same time, but really they're not. It's much like the juggler. He appears to have 3, 4, 5, 6 balls in the air. Well, they are in the air. And it appears that he's catching 3, 4, 5, 6 balls all at the same time. But as we look closer, what we find is he's catching one ball at a time. Now, he may be catching one ball with his right hand, and he may be catching one ball with his left hand, but he's still catching a single ball at a time. But he's doing it with such great proficiency and such speed that when we look, it appears he's catching them all at the same time. Single-mindedness. Pursuit of one spot on that circle. Now, here's what arriving at that spot does for us. The journey that it takes to go from the center of the circle to the outer circle, that journey teaches us what we need to know so that we can succeed, so that we can achieve, so we can be accomplished. We learn some things. That journey teaches us some things that we can't learn any other way. You can read all you want. You can hear other people talk about it all you want. But if you don't get busy doing, if you don't get busy journeying yourself, you don't learn any of that. All you're doing is hearing stories. Oh, they're good stories. Compelling stories. Hopefully they're encouraging, inspiring stories. Stories that might even teach us a thing or two, but we still have to do it ourselves. The little kid can watch videos about riding bikes, read books about riding bikes, look at pictorial diagrams of how to ride a bike, but until he gets on the bike, he doesn't know how to ride the bike. And he's never going to know how to ride the bike until he gets on the bike. And he's not going to be able to ride the bike right off the bat. It's not going to happen. No, mom or dad, they're going to have to hold on to the seat to keep him from falling over. And the first time mom and dad let go, it's highly likely he's going to fall over. But if he'll keep at it, eventually he will figure it out. And there's not a book on the planet. Not a book on the planet. They can teach him how. He has to learn by doing. Max and Jake are my grandsons. Max just turned 4. Jake's a couple of years younger. And they started last summer taking, you know, these swimming lessons for like little kids. And it's primarily survival kind of stuff, teaching kids to flip over on their back and to float so they don't drown. But it's migrated on to actually learning how to kick your feet, move your arms, and actually propel yourself to swim. Now, they hated it. They hated it. And according to the instructor, every little kid hates it. They're scared and they're panicked. And in the course of just the last 2 weeks, Max and Jake have gone from screaming and scared, and here it is, their second summer of learning this stuff. But you know what happened? I have watched them go from the center of the circle, scared to death, not wanting to even engage themselves in it, not even wanting to make a move, not wanting to get into the water. I've seen them go from the center circle, stuck in the middle, to reaching a spot on the outer circle, And that spot on the outer circle is they can swim. And they know they can swim. And they're no longer scared. Now, it's gone from stuck in the middle, scared to death, to being on the outer circle. I can swim. And you know what it is now? It's great fun. It's great fun. No amount of videos, no amount of talking, no amount of showing them, no amount of demonstrating it. No, they had to get in the pool and they had to learn it. Oh, there were a lot of tears now. There were a lot of tears. In fact, some days there was just flat out wall-eyed pitching of a fit. That was all the process from being stuck in the middle to getting to the outer circle, and it's all the difference in the world from being stuck in the middle and terrified to being successful and having a good time. So what's the takeaway today? The takeaway is fixate on a particular spot and don't take your eyes off of it until you get there. Like Max and Jake, don't give up until you know how to swim. Don't think about anything else. Don't get distracted with anything else, because now here's what you've got. Now, because Max and Jake know how to swim, guess what other opportunities are now afforded them? Well, we can go down a water slide. That's pretty cool. And when the water slide ends in the pool, we know how to swim to the steps. Oh, but not only that, now guess what we know how to do? Because we know how to swim and we can have a good time, we can jump. We can jump off of the edge into the pool and swim to the steps. Simply making it to the outer circle has now afforded Max and Jake the opportunity to do some other pretty cool, fun things in the pool that they couldn't do before. Well, are they just known now as these little boys who can flip over and float on their back just to prevent themselves from drowning? Oh, no. No. That's how it started. That was the objective. That was the goal. But it's now so much more than that. Think about all the successful people that you know. It could be a blogger. And perhaps that blogger got known for blogging about something specific, but now take a look at them. You know, I was thinking about Tony Hsieh. Tony Hsieh started Zappos, and many people think, well, Tony Hsieh, you know, he's the shoe guy. No, he's not the shoe guy. Tony Hsieh started Zappos because primarily, first and foremost, he's a customer service fanatic. So Zappos delivers terrific customer service. Gets known for selling shoes with great, great service. Now, okay, Amazon comes along and buys them, but Tony Hsieh's business now, his pursuits, professionally and personally, they're so much more than selling shoes. But that's what he got known for. To use Phil Simon's moniker, that was his platform. And that platform afforded him to now not only help grow the culture at Zappos and help train people at Zappos to be superior customer service people, but now other companies come along and are quite willing to pay handsomely to have Tony Hsieh and his entourage teach their companies how to have a successful customer service-driven culture and how to deliver superior customer service. Was that the goal all along? I rather doubt it. Tony Hsieh was just trying to build a company that had spectacular culture and terrific customer service. Shoes just happened to be the items that were being sold. Could have been anything else. But you got to focus on something. They focused on shoes. Shoes were the vehicle. So here's the question for you today. What's your vehicle? what point on that circle are you taking very intentional aim at? Because the journey from being stuck in the middle to that spot, that's what you got to make happen. And when you make that happen, boy, everything else changes. The opportunities that can come your way, the doors that can be opened, the vast amounts of learning that can take place in your life between being stuck in the middle and that circle. It's a game changer. It can change your career. It can change your life. It can certainly change your business. So I want to encourage you. Chase it. Chase it down. Chase it down with all your might. My name is Randy Cantrell. This is the Yellow Studio. I'm coming to you from the Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas area, where, as I said at the outset of the show, the heat wave has been broken. And boy, am I glad. Hey, I'd love to hear your stories. I'd like to hear your feedback. 214-736-4406. 214-736-4406. That is the 24-hour voicemail line. You'll find that number and all kinds of social icons over at the website, BulaNetwork.com. B-U-L-A. Bula is a Fiji term. Nope, not from Fiji. Never have been. Like to go one day. I'm told that it's analogous to aloha in Hawaiian. It means both hello and goodbye, and it means life. And in particular, it means life is good. I think it is. I hope yours is, and I hope to contribute in some small way to making your life better. I had mentioned sometime in episode 96, I believe, that I was going to let you know what was happening with me, and I failed to do that. I don't want to burn a bunch of time, but I'll tell you, I've got some plans in store, some changes afoot. Things here will go on much like they have, but I'm going to take my own advice here. I'm going to get targeted. I'm going to get specific, because I really haven't been. I've just, here at Bula Network, I just kind of riff on about whatever I want, and I love doing that, and I plan to continue that, but I will probably be launching a new podcast, which will be much more targeted. I do have one other endeavor, kind of a labor of love, and it's found over at leaningtowardwisdom.com. If you are in education or know people who are, send them there. Go there. It's my endeavor to kind of help those in public education in the pursuit of helping our kids battling this demon that is public education. Randy Cantrell from the Yellow Studio. Till next week, I'll see you.